Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos, Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning, our weekly Pirkei Avos learning. It's coming up to about the second anniversary from when the Shir group started, which is unbelievably incredible. Aside for over the Chagim, Echol Amoid, I think pretty much for 2 years, we have been learning every Thursday night together. Mika am chayishal goy achad ba'aretz la'agdo Torah la'adira. So tonight we have a special sponsor dedicated by my friend Esti Klein. Like some of the other women, I think we came to know each other during COVID and Zoom. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. And one time a couple of months ago, Esti came in person to one of my shiurim in Woodmere, and now she was off from teaching, and it was a very, very big honor to have you and meet you in person. So this is what she wrote, and it's very different than last week's sponsor, which you noted, Esti. In memory of my great aunt, Hinda Bas Gedalia, Allah HaShalom. My great aunt survived the war only to die in liberation in Bergen-Belsen on the 27th of Iyar 1945, which is the Shabbos. The Shabbos date is 27 Iyar. This dedication is very different from last week's dedication. My great aunt never merited to have the opportunity to marry, and she did not have children. She was the only one of her immediate family to die in World War I. She was my grandfather's sister, and both of my great-grandparents, as well as his two other sisters, a brother-in-law and young nephew. It's miraculous, by the way, Esti. Miraculous that the vast majority survived. And unfortunately, Hinda Bas Gedalia, Allah Hashem Yikom Dama, died at liberation. But Esti wrote a very interesting story, and she said, I don't know if you want to share this or not, but I thought it was such unbelievable hashkacha, and we could all use, that's what Yoel Gold, all of his stories are just hashkacha stories to increase our emunah in Hashem. So I did decide to share it, even though it's a little longer than the dedications I usually share, because I thought it was an amazing story of hashkacha pratis, and it could really be mechazek all of us. Really, this is the first session of Shir, to see how Hashem's hand guides us to exactly where we're supposed to be, when we need to be, even unbeknownst to us. Hashem is hamechin mitzadei gaver, hamechin, lehachin. He prepares the footsteps of man. So this is an incredible story. So Esti wrote, almost 8 years ago, two friends and I decided to go shopping after work. My friend Leah and I had a simcha, and someone suggested we should go to find gowns in a mall in New Jersey. We asked a third friend, Shana, to come along, smiley face. Shana has good taste. So as we were driving towards the mall, I noticed that we passed the cemetery, the Beis HaChaim, where my grandfather was buried. After a few hours of unsuccessful shopping, we left the mall. So I asked my two friends, would they mind if we stopped on the way back at my grandfather's kever? Shana, the friend who they only asked to come, not because she needed a gown, because she had good taste, mentioned her grandfather, who passed away only a year before, was buried in the same Beis HaChaim as my grandfather. And if we're going, she wants to daven at her grandfather's kever. She called her mother to ask Shana where Shana's grandfather is buried. The mother could not explain where the kever was. So we pulled up to my grandfather, and lo and behold, Shana's grandfather was buried directly in front of my grandfather's kever. We got out of the car to say Tillam and Davin. It gets even better. I took a moment to read my grandfather's kever. On the bottom of the kever, I noticed my great aunt's name was mentioned, Hinda Bas Gedalia Shemi Komdama. And Esti noted that in her family, there's a minhag to put names of those killed in the Holocaust on the kever. We have the same thing. The reason I know my grandfather's three daughters' names, Golda, Leah, and Ita, is because it's on his kever. On the bottom of the kever, I noticed my great aunt's name was mentioned. I took note of the date, and I was stunned. It was the 27th of Iyar that I happened to go shopping and happened to be at my grandfather's kever. It was the day of my great aunt's yahrzeit, the great aunt who left no children, who did not have the opportunity to get married, who was a victim of the Nazi Holocaust, Rachmana Litzlan, and Esti happens to choose that day to go shopping with her friend Shana, who came along because only she had good taste. Her grandfathers were buried right in front of your grandfather, and it's mamish the yahrzeit that your great aunt was Nifteres. It was the 27th of Iyar. I was stunned. My great aunt's yahrzeit, exclamation mark. Since that time, which was 8 years ago, I tried. So it's a lengthier introduction than usual, but I just thought it's such an unbelievable story of hashkacha, and all of our learning, whatever the topic, should really bring us a greater awareness of the Ribono Shel Olam in our lives. So I thought it was a tremendous chizuk for everybody, and obviously an incredible story. Since then, I tried to do something on the day of her yahrzeit, like make a bracha in her memory. I don't know how things are measured in the Olam HaEmes. I don't know if my great aunt needs an aliyah neshama. because she was a victim of Al Kiddush Hashem in Nazi Germany, Yimach Shemam. But in my very humble opinion, a shir will probably give her an Hashemah more nachas than a mezonos on a cookie. Thank you for the opportunity to sponsor this shir, Esti. So may the neshama of Hinda Bas Gedalia on the occasion of her yahrzeit 27 Iyar, may a zechira letova. We should only be zecha to always see Yad Hashem in a very revealed fashion in our lives, and only letova. And we thank Esti Klein very much. So I thought that was amazing. Okay, I'm going to continue, even though Esti noted that the sponsorship is very different than last week's sponsorship, which was dedicated to two mothers. So I still think it's very relevant because we are still talking about Bas Yisrael and who did not have a chance to pass on her legacy. Nevertheless, I would like to continue the idea of, I didn't get through all my material and I prepared some more material as well, this idea of the Mesorah, Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, U'Mesorah LeYoshua, Yoshua LeZakenim, Zakenim LeNeviim, Neviim Mesorah LeAnshe Knesset HaGdola, Heim Amu. So this is the right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Perek of Mishnah Aleph, like we saw last week. And what we're talking about is the Mesorah, the transmission of Mesorah. You know, it's so interesting. Just this week, one of my boys came home. He comes home very late from Yeshiva, 10 o'clock at night. So I always, you know, try and be, I see him for a few minutes in the morning, a few minutes at night. But when he came in, I was on the phone in the basement. So when I came up, he said, "But mom, I had to come up to get a notepad and a paper." And then I came up, I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I was on the phone with a Rav." So, and I felt like such an aliyah, like such a chizuk after I was on the phone with the Rav, and I said to my son, I don't know what people do who don't have, say the charav, a Rav in life, and my son said something so good, he said it's like choshech. And I thought that that was such an apt description. I said, you're right, it's like choshech. And the transmission of this Mesorah from generation to generation, whether it's from mother to child, or Rebbe to Talmud, or Rav to member of the Kehila, or Mora to student, which I know is something very dear to Esti's heart as well, is so important and so impactful. And also, because Esti remembered this last week, she wrote on the chat, I did not have time to read it during this year, but after this year I went back and I saw what Esti wrote, so I decided, since Esti reminded me of the source, we are going to start here. We are talking about the role of a woman, specifically in the transmission of the Mesorah, specifically because Kosomer lebeis Yaakov v'tagei lebnei Yisrael, Shemos Yotes Gimel, so you should tell the beis Yaakov, what does Rashi famously say? Elu hanashim tagid lehem b'lashon raka. So as you remembered a source last week, and I prepared it on the screen, and let us look at it together. One second. Could you see, it says Shlach. Yeah, okay, thank you so much. I'm going to put you up here. Okay, so Parashat Shlach, we're finishing in Chutz La'aretz, Vayikra, this week, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, and we are going into Sefer Bamidbar, Knerz Yisrael, they've already done so. Bamidbar, Naso, Baluscha, Shlach is the fourth parasha in the book of Bamidbar. Shlach is the infamous Chet HaMeraglim, and our entire destiny changed forever. The Gemara says, Perek Yudal Pasuk Aleph, Vayivku Ha'am B'layla Ha'hu, Vatisu Kol Ha'eda, Vayitnu Es Kolam, Vayivku Ha'am B'layla Ha'hu. The people lifted their voice, they all sat and they cried. Say Chazal, Tam B'chisim B'chil Shalchinam, Ani Kovei Lechem B'chil Adors. You cried for nothing, I'm going to establish, Rechman Al-Tzlan, a crying for generations. So right in the beginning of the story of the Meraglim, Parsha Shlach, Perek Yud Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem Al Moshe Limer. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Shlachecha Anashim V'yasu. Remember, this is the beginning of the, this is like, you know, after 2 years have passed and they think they're going straight into Eretz Yisrael. Shlachecha anashim v'yasu es Eretz Canaan. Send for yourself men and scout out the land of Canaan. Asher ani nosin livnei Yisrael, that I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael. Ish echad, ish echad, amate vosav, tishlachu kol nasibahem. One man, every man for his father's tribes. You should send the princes amongst them. Vayishlach osam Moshe mimidbar Paran. Moshe sent him from the wilderness of Paran, al pi Hashem, by the word of God. Kulam anashim, and Rashi says, kulam kasheirim. Rashi bin Yeshua Hema. Now it gives the names and Moshe Davin for Hoshea bin Nun. And they go, and unfortunately, you know what happened at the end. So this first pasuk, the second pasuk actually, is a kasha on this wording. First of all, it's a very famous question. Why shlach lecha anashim? Why doesn't it just say shlach anashim? What's the lecha? Send for you, man? What's the lecha? So Rashi says that ledatcha, I think it's fine, says Hashem. I don't think you need to send scouts. I'm telling you, it's a zavach halav udvash. I'm telling you, it's chito sora v'gefen uteiniv rimon eretz seicham nadvash. I'm telling you, eini Hashem al kecha b'mireishi l'shanav. You don't need to send spies. You're so concerned. Shlach lecha ledatcha. If you think you need to send, fine. But I'm telling you, you don't need to send. Why shlach lecha anashim? This is a question. Why doesn't it just say shlach lecha miraglim? So the kli yakar, here we go. Okay, it's a famous piece of the Kliyakri. You might be familiar with it. I ran at the end of last week's Shira, after the show was over, to read the comments on the Zoom, and Esti said, I think the Kliyakar says something about, well, I don't remember your exact comments, Esti, woman and the Meraglim, and so right away I emailed her, and I said, yes, you're correct, it's Bamidbar 13:2, the Kliyakar. So here we go, look on this part of the screen, okay? Davar Acha, the Kach Prat Anashim. Why did it, you could see the Kliyakar, it's highlighted. Okay, thank you. So why did Hashem specifically specify send for yourself men? You have to understand this patriarchal dominated society. And at this time, obviously you're not sending women. Why didn't they specify send men? No word in the Torah is superfluous. Lafisha Amru Azah, because the sages say, oh, one second. Excuse me. Ha'anashim hayu sonim es ha'aretz. Look at this. The men sonim esarets. I mean, if I have to translate into English, I translate as the men hated the land. The Amru, and the men said, Nitna Rosh v'neshuva Mitzrayim. That's Bamidbar Perek Yudalad, after the Chet HaMeraglim, after the whole people sit and cry that night, after the 10 spies ate a terrible land, and Amalek, and giants, and everyone's burying their dead. The people sit and cry, and they say, Nitna Rosh v'neshuva Mitzrayim. We're out of here, pal. Thanks very much. We're going back to Egypt. But on the other hand, the woman loved Eretz Yisrael. How do we know? V'amru tna lanu achuza. That is by the Benot Tzlafchad. Parshas Pinchas Perachov Zayin. Tzlafchad dies, and he does not leave any sons. And the five daughters of Tzlafchad, Melka, Chogla, Tirtza, Noah, Machla. Machla, Chagla, Noah, Tirtza, and Milka. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, our father died. He didn't leave a son. Why should our father's name be diminished to Kles Yisrael? Give us his portion. What's going to happen? His name will be lost. Tna lanu achuza. We want a heritage. We want an inheritance. We want part of Eretz Yisrael. Alkein, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an unbelievable kliyakar. If you know it before, you're having a review, like me and Esti. If you don't know it before, it's gevaldik. Either way, it's gevaldik. I shouldn't say that. It's gevaldik. If it's a review, it's gevaldik. If it's new and gevaldik. Alkein, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, Lefi dati, listen, Moshe. According to my opinion, Sha'ani roa ba'asi. I am HaYehovah V'yeh. I see the future. Haya Yosir. Yoser tov lishloach nashim hamechababos et ha'aretz. I think, if you really want my opinion, if you must send scouts, you should send a woman because they love the land. Kilo yisbru bignusa, because when the women come back, there's no way they're not going to tell disparagement about them. They're not going to tell a shenhar. Avalecha ledatcha sha'ata savrach shekshayrim hema. Are you so certain, Moshe Rabbeinu, that these people, these meraglim, these nesim that you have chosen, you're certain that they are kshayrim, they're yashar, they're kasher, they're okay? Va'ata savrach sha'aretz chaviv aleim. Are you so certain that the land is so dear to them? They love Eretz Yisrael so much. Tishtach hanashim. So send men, v'zeh shlach l'cha l'da'atcha anashim. And that's why the pasuk says, shlach l'cha l'da'atcha. According to your opinion, send males. That's what it literally means. Aval l'da'ati. But according to me, haya yosir tov l'shlach nashim kamar. It would be better to send women, like I have already explained. This is really an unbelievable kliyakar, especially, excuse me, when we go back to biblical times and temple times. It was not, for the most part, a female-dominated society. It was a very much traditional model of a male-dominated society. And this is an unbelievable shot on this pasuk. It's by Midbar Perek Yud-Gimel pasuk base for your reference, like you see on the screen, that Hashem Mamish says, I think that you should send women who love the land because they will not tell the Gnai land. I don't have a tissue. Oh, I have a tissue right here. One second, please. Excuse me, please. Okay. It is also this comment. I'm now going to quote from Miriam Peretz. Okay. Shlach l'cha anashim l'dati haya yoser tov l'shloach nashim hamechavavos es ha'aretz. So Chav Zayin Iyar is Esti's great aunt Yartzeit. Chav Ches Iyar is what we call Yom Yerushalayim. And the Kliyakar says that the women have a special Mesorah. Not only Shema B'ni Musa Avich Aval Titosh Torah Simecha, not only Kosom of the Beis Yaakov Elu HaNashim, not only Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinu Masar Yoshua Yeshua is the Kainim, not only do the women have an instrumental, integral part in transmitting the Mesorah, but also, says the Kliyakar, they have a special love for Eretz Yisrael. Miriam Peretz says that this is how I told this story to my mother on consecutive Shabbatot. They came from Morocco. They went to Eretz Yisrael. Miriam used to tell this story to her mother. Once a soul went up to heaven, but it wasn't accepted into the Garden of Eden. The angels asked it to go back down to earth and bring up three gifts, which would allow it to open up the longed-for gates of Eden. The soul went back down to earth and took a simple pin, P-I-N. A young Jewish girl had used this pin to pin her skirt when she was tied to the tail of a horse that galloped through the city streets. The girl was so modest, she didn't want anyone to see part of her flesh, and the pin pricked her and caused her to bleed, but she continued to wear it to protect her modesty. The soul took the pin, which was soaked with the girl's blood. It went up to heaven, and the first gift was accepted. On its second journey, the soul brought a single thread from the keeper of a Jew who stood between two rows of men who whipped him. To me, the story is also very reminiscent, not only of the love, you'll see when I get to the end, of a Jewish woman for Eretz Yisrael, not only the transmission of the Mesorah, but it also, I thought, was very appropriate, given that the sponsorship was a merit of a young woman who was Rachmana Litzlan. She died at liberation, but in essence, she too was murdered by the Nazis. On its second journey, the soul brought a single thread from the keeper of a Jew who stood between two rows of men who whipped him. They flogged him mercilessly. And when they had their fill, he lifted his hand up to his head. He felt that his keeper had fallen off. He bent down to pick it up. When he did that, the round of beatings began again until his soul went up to his creator. The soul took a single thread from that keeper up to heaven. The gift was accepted. On its third journey, the soul reached the wastelands of Siberia, coming to the home of a Jew just as a gang of robbers was breaking into his home. The Jew stood beside a small chest, and he like a little box chest, and he watched the robbers. They burst in, but he protected that chest with his body. The robbers pushed him. They thought there must be an expensive treasure hidden in the chest. He fought them till he collapsed, because inside the chest he was protecting was a box, and inside the box was dust from the ground of the land of Israel. The soul flew with that dust up to heaven, and the gates of Eden opened. Through the dust of the land of Israel, the soul entered the world to come. This is the story, says Miriam, that I used to tell my mother in Moroccan Arabic on Shabbat, and we would both cry. But only after Eliraz was killed, her oldest son, did I feel it was my own, her second oldest son, I'm sorry. When Uriel, my eldest son, fell in battle, I wanted to bring the Ribono Sha'olam just one of the many thorns that pierced my Uriel's hands and feet as he walked the land. And I wanted to say, God, please accept my small offering, a thorn from the land of Israel, from the body of my son Uriel. When my husband Eliezer died at 56 because his heart could not withstand the grief, I wanted to bring a single thread from his talit, and I wanted to say, Master of the universe, please accept my humble offering. You know how much my husband prayed for the safety of this boy, and now his talit was soaked with tears. And after my second son, Eliraz, fell in battle, I wanted to bring some dust from Har Herzl, dust from the graves of Uriel and Eliraz. And I wanted to say to the Creator, do not force other mothers to make this choice when they come to kneel at the graves of their sons. Don't make them choose which stone they have to kiss first. I have already given you three gifts. What more do you want? So I thank Esti for reminding me of the source of the Kliyakar. And it just reminds us that we have a special role, not in only in the transmission of the Mesorah and Torah, and the Torah Simecha specifically, as the Beis Yaakov, but on an added level, we have a special love for Eretz Yisrael. And that love for Eretz Yisrael must be transmitted as well. I'm not talking about the principles of the Medina specifically, and if you agree or don't agree with the government. I'm talking about the land of Israel. Okay, when the Kli Yakar wrote his Pshat, and when the Kli, hundreds of years ago, a few hundred years ago, and when the Meraglim went, there was no Medina Yisrael that you could say you agree or you don't agree. First, I don't know how much right we have living in Chutzart to say I agree or I don't agree. That's another story. But there was no Medina. I'm talking about the land of Israel. And we have a special Mesorah of tremendous Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. And it's something we have to transmit also as part of the Mesorah. What was the first thing Hashem said to Moshe at the burning bush? I have seen the affliction of my people. I'm coming down, Shemos Perikim al Pasuches, to save them. Ula aloso mina aretz azos, ela aretz tova urechava, eretz zavat chalav udvash. The first thing that Hashem said to Moshe is, we're going up to the Holy Land. And it's amazing because all the men died in the desert. But all the women from that generation, except for Miriam, which is a big question, which is why she dies in Parshas Chukas, went in. I want to quote a very famous passage from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav, that is extremely appropriate. And any time we talk about the Mesorah of the mother, remember we're in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph? Okay. Moshe kibel Torah misinei u'mesorah liYehoshua. Yeshua is a Kenim's Kenim, Nevim, Nevim, Masru, Ala Anshe, Knesset, Agdola. So don't forget that in every stage there was a Jewish mother and a Jewish teacher also transmitting the Torah along with the men. When we talk about the Mesorah of the mothers, we cannot not talk about this piece by Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav. It is an extremely famous, very evocative, movingly powerful, and unbelievably inspiring piece where he talks about what he learned from his mother. People are mistaken in thinking that there is only one Mesorah and one Mesorah community, the community of the fathers. It is not true. We have two Mesorot, two traditions, two communities, two Shalshalot Kabbalah, chains of Kabbalah, the Mesorah community of the fathers and that of the mothers. Actually, I just want to show you something interesting. Oh, let me move you. Oops. Show you something interesting. In this week's parsha in Chutzarts, okay, right at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai, so the pasuk says, interesting pasuk, beautiful pasuk, in the middle of all the klalos or towards the end. Wait, could you see? I'm in Vayikra Chafav Perak Pasuk Membeis. So the pasuk says, "V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov." I will remember my covenant with Yaakov. "V'av es brisi Yitzchak," and also my covenant with Yitzchak. "V'av es brisi Avram," and also my covenant with Avram. "Ezkor," I will remember "V'aretz Ezkor." So there's a medrash that says, "What about the imahus? Is it only that Hashem will remember the patriarchs, the avos, and in that merit Knesset Israel will be redeemed? Is it only in the merit of Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram?" I say it like that because that's how the pasuk goes in Eretz Israel. What about the imahos? So the Medrash says the S in the pasuk refers to the imahos. S refers to the imahos because you know from when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, Perek Mem Tes of Bereishis, he asked his children to bury him in the Ma'aras HaMechpeli. He says, Sham Kavru Es Avram V'es. Sorry, Ishto. Shama kavu es Yitzchak ve'es Rivka. Shama kavarti es Leah. The Medrash says, "Es" is a proof that it refers to the imahos. V'zecharti es brisi Yaakov would refer to the Rachel and Leah. Va'af es brisi Yitzchak would refer to Rivka. Va'af es brisi Avram Eskar would refer to Sari Miner. I also think it's interesting that the Medrash says that es refers to the imahos in this pasuk, and imahos begins with an alf and ends with a tav. Okay, so S is an allusion. It's like a short form, Mashi Tevos almost. Okay, the first letter of Imos is Alf, the last letter of Imos is Tav. S, Medrash says it's Befevish, and this pasuk refers to Imos. So this is just another proof for you that ties in so beautifully to our Shir that there is a Mesorah of the mothers, and that in Knesset Yisrael, Rav Shimshon Pinkas says in a Sefer Nefesh Chaya, the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Knesset Yisrael. V'zicharti S brisi Yaakov, S is Rachel. Va'av es brisi Yitzchak, Rivka. Va'av es brisi Avram, Sarah Imenu. Going back, so when we talk about the transmission of Mesorah from Moshe to Yoshua, Yoshua is a Kenim, Kenim Neviim, Neviim Asu Anshe Knesset Agdola, do not forget that parallel to that track is the track of the Mesorah of the Imahos. It is not true. We have two Mesorah, two traditions, two communities, two Shalshalot HaKabbalah. The Mesorah community of the fathers and that of the mothers. And then he quotes the pasuk that we quoted last week, that I quoted again tonight, from Shemos Perek Yutes Pasuk Gimel, Kosomer Lebeis Yaakov, Elu Hanashim, Vitaged Lebnei Yisrael, Elu Hanashim. Furthermore, he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Shema Bini Musar Avicha V'Al Titosh Toras Imecha. Okay? counseled the old king. He says, counseled the old king. Shlomo Melech, the old king, counseled us. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh Torah simecha. What is the difference, asks Rav Soloveitchik, between those two masorot, these two traditions? What is the distinction between musar avicha on the one hand, which we could say is the mesorah of the father, but also the chastisement of the father, and the Torah simecha? Torah, by the way, what does the word Torah mean? Mora. It means instruction, hora'ah. Okay? It means instruction, teacher. That's why teacher's called a mora. Torah is a book of instruction. Let us explore what one learns from the father and what one learns from the mother. One learns much from the father. What does one learn from the father? How to read a text. So you learn from the father how to read the Bible, the Chumash, how to read the Gemara. You learn from the father how to comprehend, how to understand what you're reading, how to analyze what you're reading, how to conceptualize, how to classify, how to infer, how to apply. This is what one learns from the father. One learns from the father as well what to do and what not to do, what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Father teaches the son discipline of thought as well as discipline of action. In Yahadus, discipline of thought is very important. When a person is reciting the Kriya Shema, it's not enough to just say the words and your mind is in the grocery store. In order to be Makaba Oma Chushamayim, or Chas Hashem, your mind is in the sports game, you saw us now, and you're saying Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echa. That's Taka problem. But in order to be Makaba Oma Chushamayim upon yourself, I'm not a Rav, I'm not paskening anything, just try and have the proper Kavana, become Makaba Oma Chushamayim upon yourself. You have to have the Kavana when you're saying the Shema. Discipline of thought in Yahadus, there's a whole category of karbanos that are pigul. If a person brings them with improper intention, if he doesn't have the proper intention, then the carbon is puzzle. But the animal was kosher, the kohen shechted it properly, it was the right parts that were burned. What was puzzle? Your intention was puzzle, could make the whole carbon puzzle. So the recitation of the Kriya Shema is not just contingent on the fingers over the eyes and the words themselves, but also kavana. You have to have the proper thought. In Asiyas and Mitzvos, Dalif Ne Miata Omed. It shouldn't be Mitzvos and Asher Melumda that we're just doing things and not. Does it ever happen to you? I'm working so hard on my brachos. I'm working very hard. I shouldn't say B'Yayin Hara because when I'm Altiv Tech Pal Satan, as soon as you say something, gives the Satan an opening. In the past weeks, that's what I'm really trying to, amongst other things, work on specifically to make it with kavana, not look at other people, not talk, not walk, just concentrate. And still, does it ever happen to you that sometimes you make the bracha and after you eat the food, you say, that was really not a very good bracha? Like, I just said the words, but I wasn't thinking so much of the fruit of the ground. Maybe it doesn't happen to you. I'm working on it. But sometimes it still happens, even when you try and have the proper kavana. What does one learn from the father? Father teaches the son discipline of thought. It's very important in Yahadus, discipline of thought. As well as discipline of action. What's discipline of action? Okay, how to take the Arba Minim. You can take it however you want. You can't, hold the Luv up here and the Esrog down here. You can't put it on the floor. It has to be in certain hands, in the right order. And then if it's your Minhag, some people don't. We don't flip it over, but some people flip it over. What's discipline of action? How to lay tefillin. The action that you have to do has to be disciplined. You can't do whatever you want in thought, and you can't do whatever you want in action. In Yahadus, they both must be disciplined to God. Father's tradition is an intellectual, moral tradition. Intellectual, moral. That is why it is identified with musar, the biblical term for discipline. You must be disciplined in your house. It's very disciplined. You have to be very disciplined when you know what time is it and when you're able to eat milchiks again. You have to be very, or if you ate hard cheese, when you're able to eat fleishiks again. You have to be very disciplined when you know the zman for tefillah. You have to be disciplined when you know when you can count spheres of armor when it's too early. You have to be very disciplined when you keep the laws of Taras HaMashpacha. Judaism is a religion of discipline, and that is associated with musar avicha. But what is Torat Imecha? And we are learning the Zecher Nishmas, a young woman who never had a chance because of the Nazis, who never had a chance to pass on her own Torat Imecha. And we should consider a tremendous chus, not only to learn the Zecher Nishmas, but if you have that chus, whether it's to your biological children or your spiritual children, meaning your students, or the people you interact with, your friends who see your behaviors, all of that is making an impression. It's passing on the Mesorah. And what is chus we have to be able to participate in this great Mamleches Kohanim and Goy Kadosh? Because the women were told the Torah first. And we saw the Medrash last week. And we saw the Pasuk in this week's Parashah. Perichavah, Pasuk Mabes. Es Yaakov, Es Yitzchak. es Avram. It refers to who? Be'imahus. We saw the Kliyakar. There is a tremendous koach and zchus. If you are fortunate enough to be an Aim B'Yisrael, whether it is to your own children or it is to your spiritual children, embrace it and do it well. What is Torat Imecha? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? Ben says Rav Salavitch, I admit, I am not able to define precisely I admit, I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role, like from Masorah, the Masorah role of the Jewish mother. One second. Oh, very, very nice. Very, very nice. To the She'ena Shal Yodei At Pesachlo. Very nice. I don't know if I ever heard that before. Maybe I forgot. If I did, I don't remember hearing that. So then, very nice. At Pesachlo. At, meaning the mother, is the one who opens up for the child. Beautiful. I admit I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. Only by circumscription, I hope to be able to explain it. Why can't he define it precisely? Because he was a man. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked, and I happened to overhear. What did my mother talk about, says the Rav. I must use a halachic term to answer this question. She talked me in Yanei Diyoma. What is in Yanei Diyoma? Matters of the day. So before Shavuos, we talk about Shavuos. And that's why we're talking about Zman Matan Torah Seinu and the Masorah these past weeks. And before Pesach, we talk about Pesach. Obviously, I'm going out of order. And before Chanukah, we talk about the Chanukah Lech and setting it up and buying the oil, comparing the wick, saying up Chanukah decorations if you do that. What did she talk about? I must use a halachic term in order to answer this question. My mother talked in Yanei Diyoma. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of the holiday. I used to see her recite her prayers. I used to watch her recite the Sidra every Friday night. I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. We used to see his mother davening. Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein, Zichron of Recha Zatzal, was just nifter, we all know. Tremendous shock and a huge loss. One of the academies that he started is called the Beno Chaya Academy. It's described as an option for girls who have no other option. The principal is a Rabbi Grossberg. It's described as a school for girls for whom there is no other option. And it was founded and started and spearheaded by Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein amongst his other tremendously vital projects. A story is told that one time a girl came to Rabbi Grossberg and said, I hate davening. So he said, why do you hate davening? Describe to me what you hate about davening. She says, well, my mother sits on the couch Friday night reading romance novels and she screams at me, go daven, go daven. Rabbi Grossberg said to her, it's not davening that you have a problem with. You have to recognize that everything we do is setting an example for the next generation. And everything we do is part of transmitting the Masorah and Torah Simecha. From the things that seem the most mundane to the things that seem the most spiritual, it is picked up, it is seen by our Talmidim, Talmidos, and by our children. My mother talked and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use a halachic term. She talked me in Yanei Diyoma. It's such a powerful piece. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of the holiday. I used to watch her reciting her prayers. I used to watch her reciting the Sidra every Friday night. I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned from her that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, how to lay the tefillin, how to take the arba minim, how much matzah you have to eat, what is the shear for the kos, how many kolos do you have to hear. I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but Judaism is a living experience. My mother taught me that there is a flavor, there is a scent, there is a warmth to mitzvos. I learned from my mother the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon my frail shoulders. I learned from my mother the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without my mother's teachings, which were quite often transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a dry and soulless being, insensitive. The laws of Shabbos, for instance, were passed on to me by my father, as far as Rav Moshe, son of Rav Chaim. They are passed on to me by my father. They are part of Musar Avicha, Tochein, Bishol, Hotza'a, Shchita, Borer. The Shabbos is a living entity, is a queen. Shabbos Hamalka was revealed to be by my mother. It is part of Toras Imecha. The fathers knew much about Shabbos. The mothers lived Shabbos, experienced her presence, and perceived the beauty and splendor of the Shabbos queen. Quote, and here he touches upon the point that I'm trying to make, and obviously it's not on purpose because this far preceded this two-part Shir series. He specifically talks about the transmission of the Masorah through the generations. The fathers taught the generations how to observe Shabbos. The mothers taught the generations how to greet Shabbos and how to enjoy her 24-hour presence. Says the Rav, without the teachings of my mother, which were often transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a dry, insensitive, and soulless being. I learned from my mother the most important thing in my life, to feel the presence of the gentle pressure of the Almighty's hand resting upon my frail shoulder. So yes, there might be questions in Gemara we can't answer. There might be questions in Tosfos and questions in Halacha. But S, Zacharti S Brisi Yaakov, Vagam S Brisi Yitzchak, Vagam S Brisi Avram Eskar, Va'aretzeskar, Va'aretzeskar. So all those, all the Essen, because the Essen referred to the Imahos, and it's in their Zchus that we have a Havas Eretz Yisrael. And it's in their Zchus that the generations know how to love Yahadus, feel Yahadus, experience Yahadus. You know, it's interesting that Malki brought up the Haggadah. Malki told us a really nice word. Ab Sachla refers to the mothers. I'm going to tell you something else from the Haggadah. We say in one of the most famous passages on Leil HaSeder, when we lift the cup of wine and we joyously sing, V'hisha amda lavoseinu velanu, it is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. Shelo echad bilvar amar aleinu l'chaloseinu, ala shebechol dor vador amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, v'akosh baruch hu matzileinu miyado. We sing it so joyously. It's a funny thing to sing joyously. In every generation they wanted to kill us. Wow, let's have a cup of wine. Of course, we celebrate for the end, because Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. So it's a very big kasha. What is the V'hisha Amda Lavoseinu Velanu? It is this that has stood for our forefathers. You probably know already where I'm going, even if you never heard this part, because it's quite obvious given the context of these two shiurim. What is the V'hi? It's a big kasha. So one of the most famous answers is what has stood for our forefathers and us is Vav Ishisa Sejei Mishnah. Hey, is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Miyod is Aseres Adibros. This all relates to Chag HaShavuos next week. And Alf is Hashem is Echad. But there's another, much simpler, Pshat. Just like Apsachlo refers to Malki Sultan added, which I think I never heard before, the mother. It makes so much sense. At Psachlo. Vihi. What's Vihi? It is she who has stood for our forefathers and us. It is she, the Jewish woman, who teaches the generations how to experience Shabbos, feel Shabbos, love Shabbos. It is she, the Jewish mother, who teaches the children and the generations about Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. It is she, the Jewish mother, like we saw the Maharshal last week, Kosomer Lebeis Yaakov Vitage Lebnei Yisrael. She will teach Lebnei Yisrael. It is she who gets char for taking her children to the yeshivas. It is she who assures that the children will feel Hashkachas Hashem, Hashkachas Pratis in their lives, and see the Ribono Shel Olam. V'hi sha'amda la'avoseinu v'lanu. In truth, it is she, the Jewish mother, who has stood for our forefathers and us. Because in every generation, they rise up to destroy us, both the transmission of both, and na chalila, discrediting the importance of Aseh l'charav and the musar that comes from the father, chas v'shalom. But don't undermine or underestimate the power of Toras Imecha, from all the sources we've seen in transmitting the Masorah, V'hi Sha'amda, Avosenu Velanu. It is the Imahos, along with the Avos, who have ensured the survival of Knesset Yisrael in every single generation. So when we learn the Zecha Nishmas, a young woman who didn't have the opportunity to partake in this glorious journey, Hinda Baskadai Alal Sham. Don't forget the first story, by the way. It's tremendous Hashkacha. We learn the Zecha Nishmasa, and we ask Ribbono Shel Olam to all grant us the Kolchos, to transmit the Mesorah and the Torah Simecha, so that Bezal Hashem, the next generation will transmit it, and the next generation will transmit it, B'chol Dor V'Dar, Ad Bias Gol Tzedek. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos. I thank you for joining. I thank Esti Klein for a generous sponsorship. B'Soros Tovos to all. If anybody's able to sponsor, we have sponsors through June, but it's already June next week. So moving into the summer, we do need sponsors. If you benefit from this year, enjoy this year, and like this chus of sponsoring the Torah, please reach out to me, whether you're an online listener or a Zoom listener. Thank you so much, everybody. Tizkul mitzvos, and have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you. Kol tov.